This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. And welcome back to the studio, Mr. Jonathan Green.
Up in around the bloody world.
You literally.
I have.
Around the world.
Literally.
This is John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green. Les Kaiser's in the studio.
Howdy.
He goes around the world every day.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan, you really did go around the world. You were mapping it out for me.
Yeah. London, Hong Kong, Bangkok, Auckland, Austin.
And a little bit of motorsport in between.
Macau Grand Prix, and also the start of the New Zealand summer, which...
Oh, mayhem!
See, we don't need it anymore. He's in the studio.
Yeah. Plenty of mayhem.
I told you that video that he pulled from is up to 12 million people have watched that video.
Oh, fame at last.
It's the biggest thing you've ever done. All the television, all the Formula One,
yeah,
and this little video.
It's only taken 25 years. Anyway, I'm very glad to be home, and I mean that. Austin, Texas is my home, and I am so glad to sleep in my own bed.
That's so. Hey, if you want to call up tonight, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Give us a call. Talk about anything you want. It's wide open because we're going to talk Formula One. We're going to talk Toyota Racing Series, Macau. WEC coming to Austin. We're going to talk all that.
No football, right?
No. What's that?
What is that? Didn't the Cowboys have a team at one point?
They have a team.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah.
That's the problem. They have a team.
So did the University of Texas.
Yes.
They have a team. They just don't have a coach.
Y'all get beat again?
Mm.
Not by the Aggies. No. Seriously?
Mm.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
We're not talking football.
Recent. Okay, then.
We're not talking football. Hey, we do have an interview tonight that Jonathan got with a young female driver, Chelsea Herbert. And we're going to play that here in a little
bit. I have been given a lecture on this by my producer in Toyota. Not lecture, but you've got to say women drivers. You can't say girls.
Can't say female.
Female's just a little bit kind of...
Yeah.
It's women. Women drivers.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm sticking with it.
I want to make sure we say that.
I want to be as respectful as possible.
Yeah.
This girl is and I can call her this, she's a badass because she really is. She's been doing V8s, Chelsea Herbert. I've been watching her progress in V8s in New Zealand, and now she's turning to single-seaters. So, yes, we'll hear from her.
Yep. And we're also going to talk a little Mazda Miata MX-5 Cup with the folks from Winding Road later in the show.
That's right. We've got the ambassador for that series.
How do I sign up?
The ambassador. Does he have diplomatic immunity?
I think maybe on the track he does, but we shall see. Stephen Marengo, like I said, from Winding Road, one of the top racing shops to deal with this spec series. So,
yeah,
I guess it's time also, because it's the end of the year, to talk about what has just been, you know, an interesting Formula One season and what looks ahead to the following season.
I'll say the last half. Absolutely. It really came together.
Yeah, the last half of the season was fantastic, and I know we talk 2021 rules all the time. We talk about how to make racing better, but we enjoyed a really good season overall. The championship, you know, I know Mercedes ran away with it. Ferrari had the car. I mean, they for the most part, they had bad strategic decisions all season long.
Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we had, everything from, you know, just... miserable races at the beginning and some really, really competitive races.
Well, and also, sadly, the literally fall down of Haas from, remember, 5th and 6th on the grid in Australia
right.
to literally also Rans here at Austin and on and on. And I mean, you know, I read a really good article with Gunter saying they really just can't fathom it. And thankfully, an annus horribilis, as they once said in Latin, a horrible year. They want out of here, and they want to turn to 2020 as quickly as they can.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll get it figured out.
Yes, I think they will.
What else from a team standpoint? Most improved? That's an easy one in my mind. What about you guys?
Oh, McLaren. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Easy.
Well, let's not forget, there's a wonderful shot. I get Autosport, the magazine, when I'm in England. I love that magazine because I know we sign up for it and we read it online, but the magazine is just like tactile. You know, you get it?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
a lovely shot
on the cover of last week's with Verstappen pointing at his Honda badge.
Oh, nice.
And I thought that was so significant after all the discussion we've had about Honda
right.
In the last 3 years. And remember, a lot of it was, what on earth is going on with McLaren and Honda, right? And yeah. It was just, and I kept saying, and you know, I kept saying, they'll come back. But they have come back.
They have come back, if you, I know you got to see some of the shows while you were around, but we had in studio a couple of times a Haas F1, former Haas F1 team man, Dave O'Neill, and he said exactly what you've been saying for all this time. He said that Honda, that culturally they were not going to be defeated. They were going to fix that.
They're Japanese. I mean, failure. I mean, you know, we laugh about the joke of failure is not an option. I mean, that's Japanese culture. I mean, literally, people jump off buildings when failure is happening in Japan. And I don't mean that to sound dramatic. I mean that because that's how much pride they have in whatever product, whether it be a washing machine, a car, or a mechanical device of any sort, anything.
Yeah.
The Japanese are so proud of what they make. But to fail at something like that, at that scale, was horrific. And they are back.
So let's think about other, you know, the McLaren most improved. Alexander Albon won Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
That's my story of the year.
Yeah.
What a guy and what a gentleman. I saw your post saying what a great guy to be around. And he is.
Yeah. We got to hang out with him at COTA and he was.
What a breath of fresh air.
But so humble and so, I've got to do this. I've got to do this. He was so humble.
Well, I mean, ironically, he reminded me, and I'd forgotten, I spent a lot of time with his father, Nigel.
That's right.
Who is, in his own right, a very good racing driver. Did Porsche Carrera Cup in Asia for 20 years. I think he's retired now, but I'm sure he's just sitting at home going, this is great. Because it is. It's a story that has come from nowhere. Let's face it, until the whole Kvyat-Gasly debacle happened, yeah. Albon really wasn't in the picture. So, you know, it's an amazing story that he's not only come up against the biggest of odds, up against, let's face it, the best driver in the world, potentially, in Verstappen. I mean, Hamilton, of course. But Verstappen, let's face it, is the man. If somebody said to you, John, hey, would you like to drive a racetrack at Top Gear? Who would you like most not drive against? You'd probably say Verstappen, right?
Yeah, I think that's a universal response.
Or Les.
Or Les Kaiser, either one of those two.
One of the two.
That's for different reasons. Dirty.
For different reasons.
For different reasons. Right. Come on.
But he has got the poison chalice of being the teammate of Verstappen and on the history of two other drivers failing in that task.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Who are still in the, you know, still
who
in
are
the,
pretty good drivers, too.
And one was on the podium the other week. So it's a hell of a job to go up against Verstappen, but he's done it calmly, quietly, no aggression, gone about his business, finished top six, top five, hasn't beaten Verstappen per se.
Yeah.
But he's certainly made his name, and now I think being recognized as the Rookie of the Year, absolutely enviable.
But toot my own horn, but we saw it at the very beginning while he was on Toro Rosso getting picked up, how he was comparing to Gasly. And when Gasly wasn't delivering, and he was, to be quite honest, the discipline of the Red Bull team and the environment around there, Toro Rosso included, they weren't going to put up with failure as much as anybody else. we just spoke of.
You know, it's an interesting
the way I felt.
Yeah, and I also think culturally, and this is a bit sort of stereotype, but I know the Thai people very well, and I know the English people very well. And that combination, which he is, an English father and a Thai mother, has got that perfectly because he has the aggression of a racing driver and yet the calmness and inner sort of meditation of a Thai. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, but
I'm humble.
I'm not going to undercut him on anything, but I think that Red Bull, relations with Thai already.
Yeah, that's
big
true.
Big part of ownership.
Well, they stole it.
Yeah, but also,
I hadn't thought about that, actually.
There's not another Thai driver that is getting that attention right now.
Well, and it's interesting you bring that up because I have followed, as you know, Asian motorsport for a long time, and I've covered the Thai Touring Car Championship and Supercar Championship for many years. And there is a bunch of really, really good Thai drivers. Motor racing is second to soccer, similar to England in terms of their interest. And there's some really, really good racing drivers who come out of Thailand that don't go all the way necessarily to Formula One, but there's some really really,
but
really
my thoughts were, he had that skill.
Yeah,
he had his nationality behind him.
Yep,
which definitely would draw a fan base if he did get in the top F1 seat of the team or next to the top. And I think that was also a business decision around that, potentially investor related as well. A lot of things like that.
I tell you what will be interesting, and it's slightly related, but when he goes to Vietnam, I wonder what kind of reception you'll get because it's literally neighboring. And I reckon there'll be a lot of Thai fans there to cheer him on.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
It's a bit like Verstappen with the Dutch, you know? They'll follow him.
And, you know, you guys realize, you remember his real highlight of the season never happened because he was about to have a podium in Brazil when Hamilton spun him out with, what, just a couple laps to go or something?
Yeah. Can you imagine what that would have been like?
Yeah. That would have capped off his season.
I'll put my anorak. Can I borrow your anorak? If you really
it's a little long on you.
Well, it's a little long on me, but I want to borrow John's anorak. If you really want to see where Thai drivers came from, look up the Princes Birra, the brothers.
Okay.
Who were both in Formula One in the late 50s. Thailand royalty.
Huh. Okay.
There you go.
That is some trivia I would have never...
See, I needed the anorak, didn't I?
You needed that.
I've come back refreshed.
All right, so let's think. We talked about Mercedes dominating, Ferrari messing up, McLaren most improved, Haas miserable season.
But can I back one point? What did go wrong with Ferrari? I mean, I can't put my finger on it. They had the fastest car. They had two badass drivers.
Poor decisions more than anything else, I think.
Is that what you think?
Yes.
And so therefore, where are we putting that? Are we putting it on Binotto?
I'm not far from it. And I'm going to say that they didn't have confidence in what they were doing, which would rattle their drivers. The drivers would have issues. And then it was tough to execute on what was dreamed about in the boardroom, if you will.
And I think Vettel lost the plot. Honestly, I think he suddenly realized that Leclerc was there to stay and Leclerc was starting to gain popularity and speed. And I think it rattled him. And I think we saw the worst side of Vettel. We saw it, if you remember, at Baku when he banged into Hamilton. We've seen his nature of kind of, it's almost Italian for a German, but it's almost like that hot-headedness that sends him into a spin of doing irrational things, which we know is not his wont.
We can't forget how long the season was because there was a point in there.
It's going to be longer next year.
Yeah, it's true. Another race longer. It felt like the wheels had completely come off for Vettel.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, he recovered a lot by the end of the season, but he was just a meltdown.
But then again, I think we put the foot on the other shoe. I think Leclerc is the real deal and is the one guy that will take it to Verstappen over the next decade. And I think there's a sort of realization from Vettel that that is the case. This kid, is coming and coming fast. I mean, if you crystal ball it, next year, Australia, who would you say is going to be the quicker of those two drivers?
Mm. Oh, man.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's hard to bet against Verstappen right now, but...
No, of Vettel and...
Leclerc? Yeah.
I'm going to,
if you had to put all your money, put your mortgage, your house, what would you put it on?
I think Leclerc.
Yeah.
I think me too.
Me too. So, therefore, we've just answered our own question. Yeah. Battles rattle.
Yeah, he is. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to tell y'all who my favorite driver of the 2019 year in Formula was. You already know it. Everybody probably already does. But we got more to come, too. We also had that interview with Chelsea Herbert.
Don't you also have an update to your car?
Software update.
I did do a software update to the car.
Are you going to tell about it?
Sure, we'll talk about that too.
Okay. Security patch.
It's a security patch. It happens to add 100 horsepower, but it's also a security patch. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin. We'll talk all about that after the break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Bernese leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be anything but loud and nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your glass? Just come on and
Hi, I'm Will Hardiman, driver of number 19 WPD More Speed Porsche 991 Cup Car, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, when we went to break, we were talking about a couple things. One of them is I want to talk about my favorite driver of the year, hands down, easy. I mean, as far as entertaining to
you, have a bit of a bro crush on him.
I do have a man crush.
A man crush. That's it.
On Lando Norris.
Yeah. And I get it too.
Yeah, I mean, but and I think the entire F1 community is that
can,
may be a
can
consensus.
We get him for our E-party next year?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be a...
going to have to turn up the volume on our E-pre.
Let's call Zach Brown and say, can we borrow him on the Wednesday night before the Formula One to host our E-party?
Oh, my gosh. We'd have to get the Irwin Center or whatever it's called.
Well, hey, let's get Dell.
If it's still around.
Dell, if you're listening, we want your driver.
McLaren, yeah.
We want your driver.
Just, wheel into Michael's.
Hey, and what about eSports this year? I mean, all of a sudden... Our timing was pretty good having an esports event this year because this has been the year, at least in Formula One, for sure. I mean, I know it's been growing across the board, but man, esports is everywhere now in motorsports.
And I keep bringing this fact up, but how about this for a sort of, like, this would never happen in any other sport, tennis, NFL, you name it, where two drivers from two different manufacturers and two different teams on opposing sides of the if you will, one a Red Bull driver and one a McLaren Dell sponsored driver get together on a sim and race for 24 hours against the world.
Yeah.
And win.
That was pretty cool.
Lando Norris, Max Verstappen raced in their own names.
Right.
And everybody raced against them and they won. I love that.
I know. And what's so cool is that how they, you can just end up in the same game with them.
It's awesome.
I mean, we had Connor Daly on early in the year, and I pulled out some of his Twitch clips.
I think he was a little bit – you stalked him a little, eh?
Yeah, he was definitely a little uncomfortable. But it's all public and it's easy to stumble across. But I just love the fact that he's just hanging out going, oh, I was crap on that corner. I was this. And then just, you know, he's playing the game just like all the other kids.
Yeah. And talking to him.
Yeah.
That's very cool. What are you doing on Twitch?
Max.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. And there's that one, too. Yeah.
I don't know what made me think of pulling that. We had Connor coming on, and I think I was just Googling him, and that came up. Yeah. I mean, my son's a big gamer, and he's not into motorsports gaming.
So tell us about your upgrade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I did a software upgrade.
Taillights, right?
Taillights, yeah.
So what? So you got a steering wheel now?
No, it's...
Wait, we're not talking about the game upgrade. This is real life.
This is your
life.
Car.
What was really pretty kind of cool is that I did the update. I went over to More Speed because my son was over there doing some work on his car, and they were closed. So I did the upgrade inside there, and they were all doing...
You took your Cadillac to More Speed?
So they're
How
all
dare
doing,
you?
They're all doing, you know, bolt on this and that, and I'm going to add 100 horsepower with my laptop. It was really cool.
Oh, I bet you were popular.
Yeah, it's just...
So let me ask you this. So when are you let us know when you use it?
I used a good bit of that on the way to the studio. It's Sunday in Austin where it's not traffic wall to wall on Sundays.
And you noticed it. Did your eyeballs kind of...
Yeah, flattened.
You redlined it.
Now.
Bless. Yeah.
With a turbo car these
There's
days,
like
you can add a tune.
Crisis.
You can add a tune to it. Yeah.
Keep it automotive.
I question,
the others get really costly.
He's questioning this. Is he a car guy or not?
It's a software update.
It adds 100 horsepower. That's what's...
Buy a Chevrolet. Hey, man, I was doing the central muscle cars.
Says the man with a taco truck.
Yeah, whoa, slow down there. Slow your roll there.
There's
nothing wrong with my Toyota.
Has.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, I was doing the central muscle cars, historics, in New Zealand.
I
and
know,
I'll tell you,
got
what,
your street cred,
I got my 1970 Ford Mustang. Oh, man, I had so much fun.
No. All right. Well, we're completely off track. Where are we going with all this?
You want to talk about Autosport Awards, maybe?
Yeah. Autosport Awards is a good one, too. I mean, they had the FIA Awards. It wasn't the same this year because Kimmy wasn't there drinking.
It's carted at the door. No, sir, you can't come back.
You remember last year? That was the greatest thing ever, Kimmy Raikkonen drunk across the stage.
Also, as imponderable is, when would you ever hear imponderable? Would you think that the Yaris was the car of the year in rally?
In an alternate universe?
No. In this universe, the rally car of the year is the Toyota Yaris WRC.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, but that's not a stock Toyota Yaris.
Oh, far from.
Yeah.
I like the way you did the Tom Landry version of Toyota.
Toyota, yeah.
By the way, Albon also won the Autosport Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's right. Albon won it there, too.
There you go.
Yeah, what are some of the other awards, Jonathan? You got it up.
There was the Engineer and Future Award. Luke Dardis won that.
Rider of the Year, Marquez. That's an easy one.
Yeah. Mahindra Pioneering and Innovation Award went to the W Series, which I thought, actually, a really good kind of deal.
That really did well this year.
I have to say, we were all quizzical. We had girls on here, women on here. Who were also quizzical, but I think the best statement of all, and I can't remember who said it, I think it was Sabra Cook, mm-hmm. who said, I want to race against the best. Maybe it was Shea Holbrook, I don't know. But she said, if you're offering me $500,000 to $1 million as a prize, I don't care. I'll race anybody. And I like that because that's a real racing driver there saying, hey, you know, if I've got an opportunity to advance myself, that's where I'm going. And it worked.
And she, you know, she didn't show real well this season. And then, and actually, she will not be back this season, not because of racing issues.
She's carrying a mama.
Oh,
she's a mama coming in. So,
but you know, we had the champion of the series before she won the championship,
Jamie
Chadwick.
Yeah, great girl.
And if you remember what I said about her when we got done interviewing her, I was like, she is impressive on many, many levels. She's obviously a very talented driver. She's a competitive driver, and she was super intelligent and just well-spoken. just across the board.
Present, really, well.
But it was way beyond that. She was just really impressive.
And anybody who's listening, any girls that are listening, or any fathers of daughters, look up Jamie Chadwick, because since that interview, she not only won the W Series, she has been taken on as an Aston Martin factory driver in GTs.
Nice.
She's also doing, much to my chagrin, she's also doing the Asian F3 Series, which happens exactly the same time as the Toyota Racing Series. We've got our own in Chelsea Herbert, but I wanted to see more girls get involved in the Toyota Racing Series. But she's doing that. And what's interesting about that is, this is the big news, is that the W Series now carries FIA super license points.
Yeah.
So these girls, quite rightly, Jamie Chadwick is now scoring potentially, she can go well, FIA winter points in a winter series. And then taking those through, and if she wins the W Series again, she's going to be literally on the edge of, potentially a test driving opportunity in F1.
Mm. Hey, so stay tuned. We've got some new connections in the W Series, and we've been offered a lot of direct contact.
Cool.
So yeah. Stay
tuned.
We'll
it was really hard to get Chadwick on the show. I literally ended up just emailing somebody through the website, and then two or three different people, so I'm glad they took care of that. But
you bet.
Hey, news about some other series too. The Formula E is now a true world championship. Do you see that?
Oh, no!
I thought you were going to say mayhem.
Gee, almost. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, that's...
I'm sorry. Until they say change... Listen, I'll love it when they change the sound.
Hey, dude, when I watched the Formula E this year, there were multiple times when I was watching it, I just forgot. And I was watching the racing, and it was competitive. I'm not a big fan yet, but there were a couple of races that I saw that I enjoyed it, and it was just good racing.
I'm with you on that. I'm coming around to it, and I'm not sure exactly what all it needs to do. You know, we're down to the single car. That's better. All these things are starting to come around. So I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Sabra Cook is returning to the W Series. It just says here she's currently doing her Formula Renault technology stroke engineering internship in the UK. But I've just been looking down. There are 12 returnees to the W Series, and one of them is Sabra Cook. And I'm really excited for her because she's an American, and she didn't do great last year, but she's now back in, and I'm looking forward to seeing how she goes.
Yeah, follow all the Americans. What else, guys?
We had some news, what was that, a week or two ago, and we haven't got to ask Jonathan about the Repsol Honda Ryder pairing.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
All right, so Mark Marquez and his brother are going to be on the Repsol together.
That is a good question for you, Jonathan. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I really do. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome for the Marquez clan. because Alex has, in a weird way, he's been compared to his brother all his life. Can you imagine being the brother of Marquez?
Yeah.
We saw him win here for the first time ever on MotoGP level. And at that point, Alex was in 125s, as they were.
Or 2013.
It was, yeah, Moto3.
Right.
But I'm delighted for him, and I'm also intrigued as to how that relationship will work, because this is different. This is not like having, another rider, a rival. This is your own flesh and blood that you have adored and been, you know, he watches all his races.
And probably fought like most
fought
brothers
like cat
do.
And dog, yeah. And I really do think it interesting, very interesting. And I also think that Mark has won so much that he will be quite gracious to his brother, and I think he will bring his brother's best potential, is what I really think. And I think
he is at that level, right?
He's at that level, yeah. And I mean, everybody says, well, is he good enough, you know? Has he been gifted this? No. And he's the world champion.
I think you can't ignore that, but I think he's good enough. You know, it was only just a few years ago that they were comparing Alex's performance on that bike to Mark's performance in the lower classes, and they were saying that Alex was actually better. Yeah. So
I remember when Mark did an interview with me, and his dad said, "Yeah, and the other one's faster."
Yeah, I do remember that. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we are going to play that interview with Chelsea Herbert. And we're going to talk a little more. We're all over the board tonight, but that's great. It's the end of the year. We're doing all that. And we're also going to talk Mazda MX-5 Cup later in the show. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
This is Danny Walker from American Super Camp and the Broster Chicken Road Race Factory team, and you are listening to Speed City, so get your elbows up.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so
I think everybody should have the elbows up when listening to Speed City.
It could be tiring.
It could be.
Hey, I want to talk about the Vietnam circuit because that is the first time for Formula One. It's going to be 21 races next year. So, but
22, isn't it?
Is it 22 or 20?
Yeah, it's 22.
22.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was 21 this year.
21 this year.
Oh gosh. But yeah, for the first time ever, Vietnam.
Casey's just Casey, our producer's gone. What?
Yeah,
22.
What time do we get up?
Good morning, Vietnam.
That's right.
You know that'll come. You know that's going to come out all
yes,
over the place.
In case you just listened to our Sunday night show, we also do pre and post Formula One shows live on national radio.
Yep.
Check out our website to find that. Where that is and how to listen and all that, speedcitybroadcast.com.
Do it live! Yes, doing it live. I'm really excited for the Vietnam Grand Prix.
Yeah, here's something interesting that I didn't know about it. This is the first to have been originated by Formula One's in-house motorsports team along with Tilke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
So this is effectively Liberty Media's first
exactly
new Grand
my
Prix.
Point. Yeah,
yep.
Should be
it's
interesting.
I tell you, it's a vault into the dark, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, remember when we've talked to the crowd, you know, they're talking about more of a revenue share and agreed upon operational budget and then revenue share and things like that. So I'm quite honestly a little bit apprehensive. I think it's going to be better than what we saw with you know, getting a $30 million ante to get in the game each year, mm-hmm. but I think it's a good thing, but I'm going to watch it. I'm sure they'll have to make adjustments as they go.
I think the model that they're taking, that Liberty Media are taking compared to Bernie's model, like you say, which was the $30 million put up or shut up, worked because countries like China and Malaysia wanted to get on the map. They want, and it proved brilliant for Malaysia, certainly. It put them on the map. And look what it's done for Austin. Different, because we're in a very, you know, in a different world here. But for Vietnam, it will be purely a tourism thing. I mean, let's face it. When we think of Vietnam, we think of... I've done a documentary in Vietnam, and so I have a very different view of Vietnam than probably most people do, because I've been to both Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh. And they're beautiful city, beautiful people, but you can't get away from the fact that there was a war there that is very public, and that's what people think of. And yet, it's a burgeoning democracy, a very, very fast-growing part of Asia, and a beautiful place with lots of history and all the rest of it. So I think this will add to that, and will look just as it did in Singapore. People seriously were scared of going to Singapore, thinking it
was
some...
That was what I was going to ask you, right? I knew you'd been there, but...
2008, when they first did the Grand Prix there, literally, when the lights turned on, and effectively when it... TV homes, 500 million TV homes saw Singapore for the first time. And I lived in Asia at that time. And everybody said, oh, wow, I had no idea that it was this modern business capital with all these high rises and modern clean streets and all the rest. They thought it was some third world country, and it isn't at all. And so it changed. It changed the reflection of Singapore.
Completely. And in Vietnam, I mean, are you thinking similar?
Absolutely. I think it will single-handedly transform Vietnam's reputation. And I also think I'd like to learn more about Liberty Media's model, which is, like you say, a revenue sharing. We'll invest with you to make this happen, and we'll both gain from the merchandise or whatever. I don't know what the whole structure is.
Yeah, from what I've seen, read, and what, you know, kind of the I'll say the mindset that I've heard, it's going to be agreed upon operations. Okay, Jonathan, you want to put one on? You know, your operations, we're going to say we're going to help you with this much of it, or we're going to agree that this is what the operations cost when you run it right, promote it right, et cetera, provide the facility. And then we're going to pay that, you know, through the revenue or through the attendance, you're going to pay that bill. And then above that dollar mark, we're going to split it to some percentage or whatever the case is.
Let's do the show from there.
I was just going to say that. Let's at least one of us go. But I'm looking at some of the photos on the F1 website.
It's a cool track.
And the building looks very similar to Coda.
Yeah.
300-foot long pit building, lots of glass and modern.
What's interesting about it is it goes, I've seen a sort of onboard, if you like. It goes through some of the long, big highway streets, as it were, some of the sort of what you'd expect from a big city. And then it goes into the really winding kind of sort of suburbs, as it were, where people, you know, hanging out the laundry type thing. And you think, oh my gosh, how are you going to get a car around there? And so it's going to be an interesting track in that respect.
Yeah, and they're saying it's on track to be completed in early January, which is a little, well, it's cutting it close, but not like Austin, where they were literally painting the parking stripes, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday in 2012.
We pulled up, and there was no sign at the end of the aisle we parked on, and when we came out, there was then a sign.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's on schedule and looks like...
I'm excited. It's going to be good.
I am, too. I mean, adding a new... To me, that's one of the things that I like about Formula One after the technology is that we get to see all these cultures from around the world. Yeah. And it's a fascinating story, whether or not you agree with, you know, the government involvement and all that stuff.
Sure.
It is fascinating.
Well, you know, talk about what's happening with the facilities and the tracks. Zandvoort's turn change. Was it Leyendijk? Turn?
Yeah.
Did you hear about
oval,
this?
The sort of banking?
It's going to banking, and it's going to be 18 degrees.
It's huge,
bank. Just checking
my
number.
Massive.
There.
Wasn't it Charlie Whiting's idea as well? May he rest in peace, but I think he had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, he was actually tied into that. One of the things that I find interesting is when I was there in May checking out the track and there for the Red Bull extravaganza, it was very interesting because that is a sand base. They are less than half a mile from
right.
the beach
right on
front.
The beach,
And so,
Zandvoort,
you know, I'm curious how they're going to stabilize that environment for F1. They were running a Porsche Cup. They were running a drift exhibition. They were doing all kinds of things like that. But I'm curious they're going to do to cope with
All right.
This.
Well, hey, guys, let's go to our interview. Once you set this up, Jonathan, Chelsea Herbert.
I got a great opportunity. We did a live Sky Sports show down in New Zealand to start the season of 86s. And I cover the Toyota 86s and the Toyota Racing Series, the Castrol Toyota Racing Series, of which Chelsea Herbert will be a part for the first time. And really excited both for her and for New Zealand because she's 21. She's done a lot of V8 racing already, so she's used to the rough and tumble. She's not done...
almost NASCAR-like.
She's not done single-seaters, so it's going to be an eye-opening thing for her and a real... I mean, think about this. She is taking on the world's best. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Lando Norris won the championship.
Yeah, let's
2 years
forget.
Ago, Lance Stroll won the championship. So we're Liam Lawson, we think, may be defending his title. So if that's the case, she's up against it. But I think she's doing it for the right reasons. And, interestingly enough, the car she's racing, this new FT60, is exactly the same car that the W Series runs, and that's her ambition.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So very smart move.
Full-on F3.
Full-on F3 car.
When you know, with downforce and serious horsepower. Yeah.
So anyway, I spoke to Chelsea. She came on our Sky Sports show, and I took her aside afterwards and said, hey, can we have a chat for Speed City? And this is what she had to say. Okay, Speed City fans, I'm delighted to introduce to you one of the TRS, the Castrol Toyota Racing Series drivers for 2020. Her name is Chelsea Herbert. She's from New Zealand, and she follows a big line of great single-seaters coming out of this country, going all the way back to the likes of Chris Amon. But she's new, and she's fresh, but she's been racing here for a while in V8s. Chelsea, I'm really excited for you because this is the Premier Motorsport single-seater championship, if not championship, in New Zealand. I know V8s is big down here, but certainly from a world perspective, this is as big as it gets. How are you feeling about going into all this?
Honestly, a little bit nervous because I know the level of driver that I'll be competing against. And yeah, obviously being a driver coming in with no single-seater knowledge is a little bit daunting, especially seeing I'm versing kids that are already championship winners in their own countries. And being one of two Kiwis, you know I have the support backing me, but that also has to come with results. But I'm not expecting massive results. I am being realistic about it, but I'm aiming for a top 10. And the reason I'm doing the series is to gain the knowledge and skills of driving a single-seater just to help my future development of as a driver.
Well, talking about the future, what about your past? How did you get to V8s and now onto this? What did you start by doing?
So I started go-karting when I was 7. I did 9 years of that, and then I got offered to drive a Ssang-Yong Ute when that series came to New Zealand. So I was part of the inaugural season and the second season, and then I moved into New Zealand V8s Class 2. I did 2 seasons in that, and then I wanted another speed bit kick, so I jumped into Class 1, and now I'm here in TRS.
The good thing, I suppose, is it's a brand new car for everybody, but in that respect, you're also very new to single-seaters. What's your apprehension? What are you worried about? Because V8s couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm worried about is probably just being physically ready for it. It is a very physically demanding car. I did a couple of days in Spain at the W Series test in a very similar, if not the same car, just different engine. And yeah, it was tough, but I've been training very hard to try and combat that and make sure that's not one of my worries. But I think it will just be good to be in the same race as future Formula One drivers, you know? So if that's not the best way to improve your skills, then I don't know what is.
It's interesting you mentioned the W Series because it really has been blown open by the fact that we know that the FIA license points are available in TRS, but they're now also available for the W Series. I mean, first year you're not expecting top 10, that's fine, but if you were to stick with this, I mean, is that a potential that you could use those points to maybe go to the W Series?
Yeah, definitely. Like, my whole life has sort of been more heading towards tin top, and especially since I hopped out of go-karts, that was just the opportunities that came up. But after I had my first day in single-seater, I was second-guessing my whole tin top idea, and I think driving single-seater is just so much fun, and it's very much like driving the go-karts that I did for 9 years. So for me, hopping back into back into something like go-karts being single-seaters is really cool. And yeah, I think I could definitely see myself changing into more of a single-seater driver, but I think I'm just going to see how this season goes and see what opportunities arise from that and just carry on with whatever path.
And what's your take on the W Series overall? We've had so many girls on, and it's interesting their reactions to it, both negative and positive. Just without giving away what they say, what's your take on an all-female series?
Initially, I was a bit taken back by it because obviously I'm one of the females that have grown up since I was 7 driving only against males, so I didn't see the point of it. I've won championships against males, and it's never, never stopped me because I'm a female. But I think also having a look at it, and after being at the test, it's very obvious that their idea isn't taking a female out of the male category to put them in a female category. It's more to pull them in, put them into a female category to recognise that they are a good racer and to put them sort of on the stage where they may not have been able to reach. And I guess like for drivers that are financially having to find sponsorship and so on, like myself, it's nice to be able to have that opportunity available. And I think for me, being able to compete on an international stage and to not have to worry about trying to get hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to race is very special.
Well, finally, wish you best of luck, but there's going to be a lot of young girls out there inspired by what you're doing, especially, like you say, taking on the boys at this level. This is the highest level. These guys are Ferrari Academy drivers. You're up against potentially Liam Lawson, who's a Red Bull Academy driver. You know, this is tough. Give us some social media. How can they follow you? What's your number? What color's the car? What's your helmet look like? Come on.
Yeah, so I'll be in the black and yellow MTF Toyota Racing Series car. You can follow me on Instagram at Chelsea Herbert Motorsport, or my Facebook page is Chelsea Herbert Racing.
All right, well, best of luck, Chelsea Herbert. We'll see you after Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
She may be more upbeat than you, Jonathan.
She's great.
You can see the smile over the speaker. Man. She's
follow her.
Bubbly.
Follow her. Seriously, she's well worth a follow.
I wonder where she parks that car.
Is that your New Zealand accent?
Well, no, more Boston, sort of. But.
The one to work on is Beast.
Beast?
Beast.
Oh, that's
the best breed you can buy.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That's terrible.
I agree, Charles.
That's true.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to, looks like on Twitter, Walter Mellon is watching online on the Twitter stream and says, hey, glad you guys are doing the show in the off season. What he doesn't realize, he must be one of our listeners on our national show, and he doesn't realize we've been doing this Sunday night show.
Didn't you say Kyle Kirkwood is
listening? Yeah, well, Kyle Kirkwood Racing, they're watching too. But.
Well, hey, Kyle, what championship are you going to win this year?
Yeah. What championship are you going to enter and win all the races?
All the races.
Make everybody
mad.
Man,
by the way, if you don't know who Kyle Kirkwood is, look him up, because this kid is another Kubica. He doesn't have a lot of money, but he needs some backing, and he is America's finest racing driver right now.
Hey, how about...
Pretty hard to argue with that.
Let's get him in a Mazda MX-5.
he'd eat your shorts.
Nice segue, Mr. Kaiser, but we got to get a break in before we go to the MX-5 discussion, so let's go ahead and do that now, and when we come back, we're going to have someone from Winding Road Racing to talk about the MX-5 Cup back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Danny Walker from American Super Camp and the Broster Chicken Road Race Factory team, and you are listening to Speed City, so get your elbows up.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so
I think everybody should have the elbows up when listening to Speed City.
It could be tiring.
It could be.
Hey, I want to talk about the Vietnam circuit, because that is the first time for Formula One. It's going to be 21 races next year. So, but
22, isn't it?
Is it 22 or 20?
Yeah, it's 22.
22.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was 21 this year.
21 this year.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, for the first time ever, Vietnam.
Casey's just... Casey, our producer's gone, what?
Yeah.
22?
What time do we get up?
Good morning, Vietnam!
That's right.
You know that'll come up. You know that's going to come out all over the place.
In case you just listened to our Sunday night show, we also do pre- and post-Formula One shows live on national radio.
Yep.
Check out our website to find that, where that is and how to listen and all that. SpeedCityBroadcast.com.
Do it live! Yes, doing it live. I'm really excited for the Vietnam Grand Prix.
Yeah, here's something interesting that I didn't know about it. This is the first to have been originated by Formula One's in-house motorsports team, along with Tilke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
So this is effectively Liberty Media's first
exactly
new Grand
my
Prix.
Point. Yeah. Yep.
Should be interesting.
I tell you, it's a vault into the dark, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, remember, when we've talked to the crowd, you know, they're talking about more of a revenue share and agreed upon operational budget and then revenue share and things like that. So I'm quite honestly a little bit apprehensive. I think it's going to be better than what we saw with you know, getting a $30 million ante to get in the game each year. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good thing, but I'm going to watch it. I'm sure they'll have to make adjustments as they go.
I think the model that they're taking, that Liberty Media are taking compared to Bernie's model, like you say, which was the $30 million put up or shut up, worked because countries like China and Malaysia wanted to get on the map. They want, and it proved brilliant for Malaysia, certainly. It put them on the map. And look what it's done for Austin. Different, because we're in a very, you know, in a different world here. But for Vietnam, it will be purely a tourism thing. I mean, let's face it, when we think of Vietnam, we think of, I've done a documentary in Vietnam, and so I have a very different view of Vietnam than probably most people do, because I've been to both Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh, and they're beautiful city, beautiful people, but you can't get away from the fact that there was a war there that is very public, and that's what people think of. And yet, it's a burgeoning democracy, a very, very fast-growing part of Asia, and a beautiful place with lots of history and all the rest of it. So I think this will add to that, and will look just as it did in Singapore. People seriously were scared of going to Singapore, thinking it
was
some...
That was what I was going to ask you. Right. I knew you'd been there, but...
2008, when they first did the Grand Prix there, literally when the lights turned on, and effectively when TV homes, 500 million TV homes saw Singapore for the first time, and I lived in Asia at that time, and everybody said, oh, wow, I had no idea that it was this modern business capital with all these high-rises and modern clean streets and all the rest. They thought it was some third-world country, and it isn't at all. And so it changed. It changed the reflection of Singapore.
And in Vietnam, I mean, are you thinking similar?
Absolutely. I think it will single-handedly transform Vietnam's reputation. And I also think I'd like to learn more about Liberty Media's model, which is, like you say, a revenue sharing. We'll invest with you to make this happen, and we'll both gain from the merchandise or whatever. I don't know what the whole structure is.
Yeah, from what I've seen, read, and what, you know, kind of the I'll say the mindset that I've heard, it's going to be agreed upon operations. Okay, Jonathan, you want to put one on? You know, your operations. We're going to say we're going to help you with this much of it, or we're going to agree that this is what the operations cost when you run it right, promote it right, etc., provide the facility, and then we're going to pay that, you know, through the revenue or through the attendance, you're going to pay that bill, and then above that dollar mark, we're going to split it to some percentage or whatever the case is.
Let's do the show from there.
I was just going to say that. Let's at least one of us go, but I'm looking at some of the photos on the F1 website.
It's a cool track.
And the building looks very similar to Coda.
Yeah.
300-foot long pit building, lots of glass and modern.
What's interesting about it is it goes, I've seen a sort of onboard, if you like. It goes through some of the long, big highway streets, as it were, some of the sort of what you'd expect from a big city. And then it goes into the really winding kind of sort of suburbs, as it were, where people, you know, hanging out the laundry type thing. And you think, oh my gosh, how are you going to get a car around there? And so it's going to be an interesting track in that respect.
Yeah, and they're saying it's on track to be completed in early January, which is a little, well, that's cutting it close, but not like Austin, where they were literally painting the parking stripes, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday in 2012.
We pulled up, and there was no sign at the end of the aisle we parked on, and when we came out, there was then a sign.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's on schedule and looks like...
I'm excited. It's going to be good.
I am, too. I mean, adding a new... To me, that's one of the things that I like about Formula One after the technology is that we get to see all these cultures from around the world. Yeah. And it's a fascinating story, whether or not you agree with, you know, the government involvement and all that stuff.
Sure.
It is fascinating.
Well, you know, talk about what's happening with the facilities and the tracks. Zandvoort's turn change. Was it Leyendijk? Turn?
Yeah.
Did you hear about
oval,
this?
The sort of banking?
It's going to banking, and it's going to be 18 degrees.
It's huge.
I was just checking my number
massive.
There.
Wasn't it Charlie Whiting's idea as well? rest in peace, but I think he had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, he was actually tied into that. One of the things that I find interesting is when I was there in May checking out the track and there for the Red Bull extravaganza, it was very interesting because that is a sand base. They are less than half a mile from
right.
the beach
right
front.
The beach,
And so,
at Zandvoort,
you know, I'm curious how they're going to stabilize that environment for F1. They were running a Porsche Cup. They were running a drift exhibition. They were doing all kinds of things like that. But I'm curious they're going to do to cope with
All right. Well, hey, guys, let's go to our interview. Once you set this up, Jonathan, Chelsea Herbert.
I got a great opportunity. We did a live Sky Sports show down in New Zealand to start the season of 86s. And I cover the Toyota 86s and the Toyota Racing Series, the Castrol Toyota Racing Series, of which Chelsea Herbert will be a part for the first time. And really excited both for her and for New Zealand because she's 21. She's done a lot of V8 racing already, so she's used to the rough and tumble. She's not done...
almost NASCAR-like.
She's not done single-seaters, so it's going to be an eye-opening thing for her. And a real... I mean, think about this. She is taking on the world's best. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Lando Norris won the championship.
Yeah, let's
2 years
forget.
Ago, Lance Stroll won the championship. So we're... And Liam Lawson... we think may be defending his title. So if that's the case, she's up against it. But I think she's doing it for the right reasons. And interestingly enough, the car she's racing, this new FT60, is exactly the same car that the W Series runs, and that's her ambition.
Oh yeah, that's
so
right.
Very smart move.
Full on F3
car.
When you know with downforce and serious horsepower. Yeah.
So anyway, I spoke to Chelsea. She came on our Sky Sports show, and I took her aside afterwards and said, hey, can we have a chat for Speed City? And this is what she had to say. Okay, Speed City fans, I'm delighted to introduce to you one of the TRS, the Castrol Toyota Racing Series drivers for 2020. Her name is Chelsea Herbert. She's from New Zealand, and she follows a big line of great single-seaters coming out of this country, going all the way back to the likes of Chris Amon. But she's new, and she's fresh, but she's been racing here for a while in V8s. Chelsea, I'm really excited for you because this is the Premier Motorsport single-seater championship, if not championship in New Zealand. I know V8s is big down here, but certainly from a world perspective, this is as big as it gets. How are you feeling about going into all this?
Honestly, a little bit nervous because I know the level of driver that I'll be competing against. And yeah, obviously being a driver coming in with no single-seater knowledge is a little bit daunting, especially seeing I'm versing kids that are already championship winners in their own countries. And being one of two Kiwis, you know I have the support backing me, but that also has to come with results. But I'm not expecting massive results. I am being realistic about it, but I'm aiming for a top 10. And the reason I'm doing the series is to gain the knowledge and skills of driving a single-seater just to help my future development as a driver.
Well, talking about the future, what about your past? How did you get to V8s and now onto this? What did you start by doing?
So I started go-karting when I was 7. I did 9 years of that, and then I got offered to drive a Ssangyong Ute when that series came to New Zealand. So I was part of the inaugural season and the second season, and then I moved into New Zealand V8s Class 2. I did two seasons in that, and then I wanted another speed bit kick, so I jumped into Class 1, and now I'm here in TRS.
The good thing, I suppose, is it's a brand new car for everybody, but in that respect, you're also very new to single-seaters. What's your apprehension? What are you worried about? Because V8s couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I think the thing I'm worried about is probably just being physically ready for it. It is a very physically demanding car. I did a couple of days in Spain at the W Series test in a very similar, if not the same car, just different engine. And yeah, it was tough, but I've been training very hard to try and combat that and make sure that's not one of my worries. But I think it will just be good to be in the same race as future Formula One drivers, you know? So if that's not the best way to improve your skills, then I don't know what is.
It's interesting you mentioned the W Series because it really has been blown open by the fact that we know that the FIA license points are available in TRS, but they're now also available for the W Series. All right, first year you're not expecting top 10, that's fine, but if you were to stick with this, I mean, is that a potential that you could use those points to maybe go to the W Series?
Yeah, definitely. my whole life has sort of been more heading towards Tin Top, and especially since I hopped out of go-karts, that was just the opportunities that came up. But after I had my first day in single-seater, I was, you know, second-guessing my whole Tin Top idea, and I think, like, driving single-seater is just so much fun, and it's very much like driving the go-karts that I did for 9 years. So for me, hopping back into back into something like go-karts being single-seaters is really cool. And yeah, I think I could definitely see myself changing into more of a single-seater driver, but I think I'm just going to see how this season goes and see what opportunities arise from that, and just carry on with whatever path.
And what's your take on the W Series overall? We've had so many girls on, and it's interesting their reactions to it, both negative and positive. Just without giving away what they say, what's your take on an all-female series?
Initially, I was a bit taken back by it, because obviously I'm one of the females that have grown up since I was 7 driving only against males, so I didn't see the point of it. You know, I've won championships against males, and it's never, you know, never stopped me because I'm a female. But I think also having a look at it, and after being at the test, it's very obvious that their idea isn't taking a female out of the male category to put them in a female category. It's more to pull them in, put them into a female category to recognise that they are a good racer, and to put them sort of on the stage where they may not have been able to reach. And I guess, like, for drivers that are financially having to find sponsorship and so on, like myself, it's nice to be able to have that opportunity available. And I think for me, being able to compete on an international stage and to not have to worry about trying to get hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to race is very special.
Well, finally, wish you best of luck, but there's going to be a lot of young girls out there inspired by what you're doing, especially, like you say, taking on the boys at this level. This is the highest level. These guys are Ferrari Academy drivers. You're up against potentially Liam Lawson, who's a Red Bull Academy driver. You know, this is tough. Give us some social media. How can they follow you? What's your number? What colour's the car? What's your helmet look like? Come on.
Yeah, so I'll be in the black and yellow MTF Toyota Racing Series car. You can follow me on Instagram at Chelsea Herbert Motorsport, or my Facebook page is Chelsea Herbert Racing.
All right, well, best of luck, Chelsea Herbert. We'll see you after Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
She may be more upbeat than you, Jonathan.
She's great.
You can see the smile over the speaker.
Man.
She's
follow her.
Bubbly.
Follow her. Seriously, she's well worth a follow.
I wonder where she parks that car.
Is that your New Zealand accent?
Boston, sort of. But
the one to work on is Beast.
Beast?
Beast.
Oh, that's
best breed you can buy.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That's terrible.
I agree, Charles.
That's true.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to, looks like on Twitter, Walter Mellon is watching online on the Twitter stream and says, hey, glad you guys are doing the show in the off season. What he doesn't realize, he must be one of our listeners on our national show, and he doesn't realize we've been doing this Sunday night show.
Didn't you say Kyle Kirkwood is
listening? Yeah, Kyle Kirkwood Racing, they're watching too. But...
Well, hey, Kyle, what championship are you going to win this year?
Yeah. What championship are you going to enter and win all the races?
All the races.
Make everybody
mad.
Man,
by the way, if you don't know who Kyle Kirkwood is, look him up, because this kid is another Kubica. He doesn't have a lot of money, but he needs some backing, and he is America's finest racing driver right now.
Hey, how about...
Pretty hard to argue with that.
Let's get him in a Mazda MX-5.
your shorts.
Nice segue, Mr. Kaiser, but we got to get a break in before we go to the MX-5 discussion, so let's go ahead and do that now, and when we come back, we're going to have someone from Winding Road Racing to talk about the MX-5 Cup back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride.
When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hello, I'm Jenny Gale from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm going to throw it over to you, Les Kaiser, and let you introduce our next guest.
Oh, man, you talk about the guy to know. And, you know, so often we're asked, how do I get into racing? What's a good way to get there? You know, if you want a full-size car, the MX-5 Spec Series is one of the best ones. We've got one of the top shops in the country right here in Austin and a few others. Steve Marengo is our guy to really just get us caught up. Hey, happy holidays, Steve. How are things going?
Happy holidays to you guys. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Man, we are excited for this new year. I know there's a lot of things going on with the Challenge Series. Tell you what, give us a nutshell introduction to the series and tell us what's going on, especially that big purse that's up this year.
Yeah, definitely. We got a lot going on in Spec MX-5 Challenge this year, from a new car to increased purses, great sponsors coming in, help us out. Series this year is going to be presented by Toyo Tires. We're really excited to start running on Toyo Tires, and got a lot of great programs. We've got our East West regional programs. We got a national series program, and then we've got the program we're really excited about, which are invitational program. And the invitational program is looking for 25 of the best drivers, and it's going to give them a shot to run at the big money championship, which is going to be here at the Circuit of the Americas next year in November, with the winner taking home $50,000 that they can then use in other forms of motorsports. And of course, this is all made possible by our friends at Mazda, who probably do more for grassroots racers in the United States than any other manufacturer. And we're really excited. We're just really excited to be on board. We're really excited for the new car, and really excited to play a vital link between Spec Miata, which is one of the biggest racing series in the United States, and Global MX-5 Cup, which is the series that races with IndyCar week in and week out. So we've got a lot going on, and we're really excited about the direction of this Challenge Series for next year and for the future.
Did you say $50,000?
Yeah. Yes. $50,000. The champion will take home a check for $50,000, and they'll be able to use that and apply that to any form of motorsports that they want to inside of the Mazda family. And as you know, Mazda has really increased their they've really increased their motorsports impact. With the new car that they're putting out, running the Mazda 3, and of course their Daytona prototype program, and they've got a lot going on, Mazda, and without Mazda's help and support, a series like this would never be possible.
So, man. Folks, this really is. I mean, you're hearing some pretty big dollars for something that is not a huge racing investment to get into a quality series. You know, these are definitely FIA spec, safety regimens and things that they look towards as well. And here you go. You can't get anything better than an up to date spec car ready to go.
And getting into a Miata is what a great entry level. You can buy the cars for a reasonable amount of money, the first time I ever went around COTA was in a Miata, and blows your mind how much G forces you can generate in those cars.
Yeah, there's certainly some great YouTube videos if you want to get some searches of the best and the most expensive supercars blowing the Miata away on the straightaway, and then in the turns, the Miata is catching up. So it's a great way to learn racing. It's a great way to learn your craft. You definitely learn a lot about momentum. You learn a lot about drafting, cornering, braking. It's really one of the best ways to learn racing and to really push your career forward. And that's what we have going on with Winding Road Racing, but also with shops all across the country. It's a really exciting time for, you know, for our series and for Spec MX5s just in general.
You know, it's interesting. I went to Harris Hill, and as you know, they've got a very strong following there of the Miatas. And I went out with a friend who races one, and he put me in his race car and put me in. He sat in the passenger seat and said, you know, have you ever raced before? I said, ah, I've done a bit of go-karting. But he was telling me where to change gear and what to do. The confidence that that car brings on a track like Harris Hill. I mean, Coda's one thing, but Harris Hill, you know, is wide open. And it was so informative. The car responds to what you do. Frankly, it's the most fun I've had. And frankly, like you say, it's affordable. I'm really keen. Sign me up. Can we have a Speed City team?
I'd say we can probably arrange that.
All right, let's do it.
Put that on his account.
Okay. but don't you agree that the car itself, for any driver who doesn't necessarily want to be a racing driver, but wants to learn about the craft of driving a car and what a car can do, both braking, both gears, and so on and so forth, I think a lot of people who've never been on a racetrack would be amazed at the grip, the mechanical brilliance of modern-day cars, and the Miata is a good example.
Yeah, and I think this generation, the version 2 of the Spec MX-5 Challenge car, is really exciting because of the partners we've been able to pull in to provide the spec. You know, the cars next year are going to have a Roush engine in it, which is a name, you know, all race fans know. Penske shocks on the front end, which is another great name in racing. Paget brakes, Toyo tires, and of course, Mazda really pushing it. And, you know, when you have a gentleman like David Cook really helping us craft the way that the series is going to play out for next year, it's great. And you know, just this week, Mazda has made a commitment to provide $10,000 worth of scholarships for 10 of the probably the best up and coming drivers for our invitational program. And that's the type of commitment that Mazda has. And, you know, that's, you know, if you've ever seen a global MX5 Cup race, you know that it is some of the best action you'll see on a racetrack, perhaps the whole weekend. I know when we had the global MX5 cars here this year at the IndyCar race, they were some of the best races of all the entire weekend, because the field is so close and it's, you really learn about how to drive a race car wheel to wheel in close competition, and you learn very quickly, you know, where your limit is. And that's what racing is about. It's about finding the limit, finding the line, and, you know, learning how to do that lap in and lap out. And that's what you're going to learn, you know, in a Spec MX5 car. And that shows with our applications. You know, we've opened our application period up for drivers for our national series and our invitational series. And it's every day at our office, we're getting anywhere from 5 to 10 applications of wow. people from all sorts of, you know, driving styles, from karting, you know, from people who are running a Spec Miata, even people from sports cars. And we've even got some inquiries from people who have run in some of the larger classes, you know, well-known professional classes, saying, hey, you know, I'm not doing anything right now. You know, my career kind of ran out of some funding, but I may be able to get inside this invitational program. How can we do this?
Fantastic.
That's cool.
We'll have to, folks, we're going to share the link to Winding Road, and it's got Steve's information there.
Windingroad.com is the base website. But yeah,
fantastic stuff. Hey, thanks and for getting us caught up on this. This is great.
Definitely.
It's amazing. We're going to put this out. We may have to do it our own podcast, because there's a lot more to talk about in this series.
Yeah, and for more in the series, please go to specmx-5.com. That's where you can find everything else about what we're doing and how we can help you get one of these cars.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll see you around Austin.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic.
All right, well, we are out of time. Series. Yeah, I know that's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be to keep on our radar. But all right, well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for listening on and online on the radio in Austin and on Facebook and Twitter or YouTube or wherever the heck else you're listening or watching. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. We'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm going to throw it over to you, Les Kaiser, and let you introduce our next guest.
Oh, man, you talk about the guy to know. And, you know, so often we're asked, how do I get into racing? What's a good way to get there? You know, if you want a full-size car, the MX-5 Spec Series is one of the best ones. We've got one of the top shops in the country right here in Austin and a few others. Steve Marengo is our guy to really just get us caught up. Hey, happy holidays, Steve. How are things going?
Happy holidays to you guys. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Man, we are excited for this new year. I know there's a lot of things going on with the Challenge Series. Tell you what, give us a nutshell introduction to the series and tell us what's going on, especially that big purse that's up this year.
Yeah, definitely. We got a lot going on in Spec MX-5 Challenge this year, from a new car to increased purses, great sponsors coming in, help us out. Series this year is going to be presented by Toyo Tires. We're really excited to start running on Toyo Tires, and we've got a lot of great programs. We've got our East-West regional programs. We got a national series program, and then we've got the program we're really excited about, which is our Invitational program. And the Invitational program is looking for 25 of the best drivers, and it's going to give them a shot to run at the big money championship, which is going to be here at the Circuit of the Americas next year in November, with the winner taking home $50,000 that they can then use in other forms of motorsports. And of course, this is all made possible by our friends at Mazda, who probably do more for grassroots racers in the United States than any other manufacturer. And we're really excited. We're just really excited to be on board. We're really excited for the new car, and really excited to play a vital link between Spec Miata, which is one of the biggest racing series in the United States, and Global MX-5 Cup, which is the series that races with IndyCar week in and week out. So we've got a lot going on, and we're really excited about the direction of this Challenge Series for next year and for the future.
Did you say $50,000?
Yes. $50,000. The champion will take home a check for $50,000, and they'll be able to use that and apply that to any form of motorsports that they want to inside of the Mazda family. And as you know, Mazda has really increased their they've really increased their motorsports impact. With the new car that they're putting out, running the Mazda 3, and of course their Daytona prototype program, and they've got a lot going on, Mazda, and without Mazda's help and support, a series like this would never be possible.
So, man. Folks, this really is, I mean, you're hearing some pretty big dollars for something that is not a huge racing investment. To get into a quality series, these are definitely FIA spec, safety regimens and things that they look towards as well. And, here you go. You can't get anything better than an up-to-date spec car ready to go.
And, getting into a Miata is what a great entry level. You can buy the cars for a reasonable amount of money. They, the first time I ever went around COTA was in a Miata, and blows your mind how much G-forces you can generate in those cars.
Yeah, there's certainly some great YouTube videos if you want to get some searches of the best and the most expensive supercars blowing a Miata away on the straightaway, and then in the turns the Miata is catching up. So it's a great way to learn racing. It's a great way to learn your craft. You definitely learn a lot about momentum. You learn a lot about drafting, cornering, braking. It's really one of the best ways to learn racing and to really push your career forward. And that's what we have going on with Winding Road Racing, but also with shops all across the country. It's a really exciting time for our series and for Spec MX-5s, just in general.
You know, it's interesting. I went to Harris Hill, and as you know, they've got a very strong following there of the Miatas. And I went out with a friend who races one, and he put me in his race car and put me in. He sat in the passenger seat and said, you know, have you ever raced before? I said, I've done a bit of go-karting. But he was telling me where to change gear and what to do. The confidence that car brings on a track like Harris Hill. I mean, COTA's one thing, but Harris Hill, you know, is wide open. And it was so informative. The car responds to what you do. Frankly, it's the most fun I've had. And frankly, like you say, it's affordable. I'm really keen. Sign me up. Can we have a Speed City team?
I'd say we can probably arrange that.
All right, let's do it.
Put that on his account.
Okay. but don't you agree that the car itself, for any driver who doesn't necessarily want to be a racing driver, but wants to learn about the craft of driving a car and what a car can do, both braking, both gears, and so on and so forth, I think a lot of people who've never been on a racetrack would be amazed at the grip, the mechanical brilliance of modern-day cars, and the Miata is a good example.
Yeah, and I think this generation, the version 2 of the Spec MX-5 Challenge car, is really exciting because of the partners we've been able to pull in to provide the spec. You know, the cars next year are going to have a Roush engine in it, which is a name, you know, all race fans know. Penske shocks on the front end, which is another great name in racing. Paget brakes, Toyo tires, and of course, Mazda really pushing it. And, you know, when you have a gentleman like David Cook really helping us craft the way that the series is going to play out for next year, it's great. And you know, just this week, Mazda has made a commitment to provide $10,000 worth of scholarships for 10 of the probably the best up and coming drivers for our invitational program. And that's the type of commitment that Mazda has. And, if you've ever seen a global MX-5 Cup race, that it is some of the best action you'll see on a racetrack, perhaps the whole weekend. I know when we had the global MX-5 cars here this year at the IndyCar race, they were some of the best races of all the entire weekend, because the field is so close and it's, you really learn about how to drive a race car wheel to wheel in close competition, and you learn very quickly, you know, where your limit is. And then that's what racing is about. It's about finding the limit, finding the line, and you know, learning how to do that lap in and lap out. And that's what you're going to learn, you know, in a Spec MX-5 car. And that shows with our applications. You know, we've opened our application period up for drivers for our national series and our invitational series. And it's every day at our office, we're getting anywhere from 5 to 10 applications of people from all sorts of, you know, driving styles, from karting, you know, from people who are running a Spec Miata, even people from sports cars. And we've even got some inquiries from people who have run in some of the larger classes, you know, well-known professional classes, saying, hey, you know, I'm not doing anything right now. You know, my career kind of ran out of some funding, but I may be able to get inside this invitational program. How can we do this?
Fantastic.
That's cool.
We'll have to, folks, we're going to share the link to Winding Road, and it's got Steve's information there.
Windingroad.com is the base website. But yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Hey, thanks for getting us caught up on this. This is great.
Definitely.
It's amazing. We're going to put this out. We may have to do our own podcast because there's a lot more to talk about in this series.
Yeah, and for more on the series, please go to specmx-5.com. That's where you can find everything else about what we're doing and how we can help you get one of these cars.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll see you in Austin.
Great. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic.
All right. Well, we are out of time. Series. Yeah, I know that's gonna be fun to watch. It's gonna be to keep on our radar. But, all right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for listening on and online on the radio in Austin and on Facebook and Twitter or YouTube or wherever the heck else you're listening or watching. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. Check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. We'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.